I'm thinking some this morning about relationship. I think most all of us have relationships and desire relationships with each other. We're social creatures. There has been a few human beings that's not, but that's very abnormal, I think. I think it's part of who we are to have relationships. Do you ever want more out of a relationship? Probably you have. What would it be like for you to, in all your relationships? I can look over this crowd and know that there's people here that are mothers that have children. That's a relationship. There's wives here that has husbands. That's a relationship. There's children to mothers and brothers and sisters. And there's relationships here. Can you imagine if all your relationships, the people in those relationships only had a relationship with you when they needed something from you? Now, you wives in here, imagine that your husbands don't talk to you. And if they don't, I'm sorry, but imagine that they don't say a word to you. You pass each other in rooms. He's going about his thing, doing this, and then he gets to a certain point and says, would you get me something to eat? How would you like that relationship? Would you like a relationship that you have children and they never say, hi, Mom, or no endearing terms, nothing like that. And then they come and say, did you wash my clothes? did you get the groceries? I have a need. Hey, Dad, can I borrow you some money? You haven't talked to me in 2 weeks. Can I borrow you some money? What kind of a relationship would those relationships be if all they were was a relationship of, I have a need. I haven't even thought about you in 2 or 3 days. But all of a sudden, hey, I need a lawnmower. And hey, he's got one. I'll go get his lawnmower. That's my relationship with him. Wouldn't be much of a relationship. But you know, I wonder what God thinks about us. I ain't really said anything to him for a week. Boy, I ain't had no reason to. I've had everything I needed. Everything just went smooth. I've no reason to have. I have no reason to say anything to God. I mean, nobody's sick in the house. And we got plenty of food, got some money, car's running well, everything seems to be going pretty good. I have no reason to talk to God. When things happen, I'll go and ask him if I need something. What relationship would you have if that's all the relationship you had? Get something from, that's what God is, isn't he? God is a provider. God is somebody that's got it all. God can change the events of life. God can alter my health. God can do anything. God's God. So that's what I got God for. That's what I got, right? That's what I got God for. I needed somebody to do my laundry. I needed somebody to cook. So, well, my wife's a good cook. I needed somebody to do those things. So that's why I got a wife. She does laundry. She does dishes. She cooks. Well, got me a wife. You know, that's going to come up pretty empty. Really, for everybody, it's going to come up pretty empty. I got up early this morning in the sense of feeling was over me that the Lord sure has been good to me. I was in bed before I ever got up, laying there saying, Jesus, I sure appreciate you today. I ain't got nothing to ask for. It's been I'm doing well. Thankful. I sure appreciate you. I appreciate the things that I don't even normally preach. I'm glad that I have air. I'm glad that we have health. I just appreciate you, Lord. You've been a good friend to me. I'm glad. I'm glad that I know you. Yeah. I'm glad that I know you. Let's look at a scripture over in John. I want to stir us to a higher, or maybe we should say a more fulfilled relationship with God. Now, I appreciated the sister's poem because it really went along with what I'm thinking. The poem said, do you know Him? You can say you know somebody. Somebody come along and said, do you know who Obama is? Barack Obama, well, yeah, I know. That's our president. I know who he is. I know him. No, I don't know him. I don't know him. I never spent a day with him. I never said a word to him. I don't talk to him. I don't know him. And say, well, do you know who I know who our governor is. Yeah, in West Virginia, I know who our governor is. I've heard him talk. So I know the same. I know him. I know him. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he likes. I don't know what he dislikes. If I was going to get him a present, I wouldn't know what to get him. Don't know what he likes. If I was going to get him something to eat, I wouldn't know what to get because I don't know what he likes to eat. I have to know him. You know what I'm saying? If I dealt with my wife and only got her things that she likes, the guys, the joke was, is I'm gonna get my wife a chainsaw for Christmas. I'll get her a chainsaw. My wife don't run a chainsaw, but it sure will be handy her having one. If I don't know my wife, I might buy her. Like I said, if I was to buy my wife candy, it would be M&M's without peanuts. If I was going to buy her M&M's, but I wouldn't buy me them. But if I went by what I liked, I'd buy M&M's with peanuts because that's what I like. And if I like it, everybody ought to. So that's all I know about the people around me. You must be like me. No. The only way you can know what to do with Jesus, the only way you can respond to Him is to know Him. You got to know Him. And you say, well, who said that? People will ask sometimes. I don't know who's talking here. I don't know if that's the Lord or the devil. Well, okay. But you need to know. You need to know which one's in how does He speak. You know, the Lord said of His sheep that they would hear His voice. And a stranger they would not follow. They're going to follow the shepherd. They ain't going to follow. That ain't the right voice. You know, sometimes you get this impression and it's this driving, hard, doom impression. I have people said, I don't know if that's the Lord. And I said, well, you don't know that's the Lord? A driving, depressing, pushing spirit? You don't know? That's not the Lord. That's the devil. Well, he might be saying the right thing. The devil lies even when he says the right thing. He's always lying. He's lying with his impression. But the Lord, we need to know the Lord. The Lord is a sweetness. He'll bring peace. He'll bring the assurance. That's the Lord. Let's look at a sixth chapter of John. I'm going to start with 6 verses. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And when Jesus went up into the mountains, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered to him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not significant for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. He entered into a ship and went over to the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they that had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias now unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when comest thou?" Now listen to Jesus. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly," it's the truth, "I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." Now, that was a rebuke, wasn't it? That wasn't a pleasant thing that the Lord was saying to them. You know, it's honorable, and we would say to anybody, seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. I want to tell you today, seek Jesus. But what are you going to seek Him for? What do you really want today out of the Lord? Well, what are you here for? What's your desires? What's your ambitions? What would you want of a relationship with an all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God? What would you want with a relationship with a loving Savior who gives His life with you? What do you want from Him? And what bread? What bread? Right? And what bread? Jesus understood these people. They made a great effort. Would I not say to the people, make a great effort to seek the Lord? Yeah. Make a great effort to seek the Lord. There's people that pay lots of money seeking the Lord. There's people that travel lots of miles to seek the Lord. There's people that go to a lot of church services. A lot of great cathedrals are built. Great tabernacles are built. Great churches are built. People go to them by the megas. There's a lot of people given to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord for what? I'm here to encourage us today to seek the Lord for a relationship with Him. To know Him. It isn't, of course it's right in the right ways of thinking. People, we want to be saved. I want to miss hell. Be honest with you, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But it ought to be more than that. It ought to be more than that. What about the one that's going to get me there? I want to be fed, folks. I want to be taken care of in this life. I like to have health. I like to have enough to eat. I like for my family to have a roof over their head. I like to have all those things that's natural to have. But what about the one that gives it to us? Is all he is a bank? Is all that he is something to open up and give to us? No. We miss it all when we do that. These people were following. But when Jesus said to them, he said, "I'll tell you the truth. You didn't come because you seen the miracles." Now, I want to tell you what the understanding of that is. That miracle, those miracles mean something. And if you don't believe that, you go do one. Anybody want to demonstrate something for us right now? You want to show us a miracle? No, it says that it's not human. That and those miracles said it was divine. Now the Lord is expressing this here. You didn't come because I'm divine. You didn't come because you wanted a relationship with divine, with a divinity. You didn't come to worship. You didn't come with the right heart. You wouldn't have come at all if you hadn't had your belly filled. You wouldn't have come if you didn't want something of this world, earth. You wouldn't have come at all. It didn't move you enough to do it. It should have moved you. The other ones that followed, they followed because he had done miracles. And why? When he said they healed the diseased and all that, what did he do? Maybe they were diseased. Maybe they were still wanting something. It's right to want something. It's right to seek the Lord for that want. But folks, it's much more than that. It goes deeper than that. It really is. He's a being. He's an intelligence. There's a personage here. There's something that he wants too. I'm not, and
y'all say, yeah, sure, Brother Martin.
I'm not a gift person. Gifts don't mean much to me. I'll just be honest with you. Gifts don't mean much to me. The gift itself. But it does for somebody to give me one. You understand what I'm saying? To be honest with you, most things that I would get if I wanted to just go get it anyway. It's not the things that, I'm not a things person. But there's something about somebody giving me something. Now, one of my children, when they was in the Christian school there at home, they had what they called a merit store. And they would be good. When they good and got their work done and things, they would get daily rewards, merits. They would call these little merit pieces of paper, merits. And they could save the merits. And the merits was like money to the merit store. And when they got demerits, I guess that took from the group there, or took away, but they didn't get them. But when they got so many, they could go to the merit store and they'd fill the merit store with the candies and the toys and the things that they would want to spend that on. It's a reward for saying you should get your work done. And I guess that's a plus to all that. Well, one day they had the merit store and my little boy, he comes home. And he had got me this little glass thing that says Dad on it. And it's still there at the house. And it meant a lot to me. Not because there was anything important about that. It was very cheap. It's a piece of glass. But what meant to me was that he took his merits. And that touched me. That he took what he had. I'm Dad. I'm the one that he goes to and says, Dad, can I have some candy? Dad, can I have this cat? Give me this. I'm the guy. But now there's a return. There's a relationship here now. You see what I'm saying? It's not that I just am this figure or a thing that does this. Now I'm something that is cared about. You think that's important to God? Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Doesn't God want the circle to be complete? He died for us. That's pretty amazing. Are we living for Him? He lived for us. He lived for us, died for us. Are we living for and dying for? That completes the circle. It's not just to say, God is giving me these things and it's all there is to God. I'm afraid a lot of people serve God that way. And when they get through the trial that God blesses them in, it's like, whew, that was a good one to go through. But what about the friend? What about the next day after the trial ends, and the next, and then the next week after that? And then what becomes of God? I wonder if what kind of relationship we would have. I know what kind of relationship I have with my wife. And it is not I need you, that's all there is. Our best relationship is when it's not that way. Our best relationship is when we're sharing ourselves together. We're laughing together. We're being together. You know, God's there to give us Himself and take us to Him. We can have a relationship where it's motivated by something else than just I need something from you. It's motivated by, Lord, I love you. I know you love me first and you won me to this. But I sure like being with you. Is that all right? Is that the way it is? I sure am fulfilled just to have your presence in my life. You ever felt the presence of the Lord? I mean, really felt the presence of the Lord. There is none of these amusement parks ever made a ride. If they could make a ride to top the presence of the Lord, they'd have lines all the time wanting to go ride on that. If they could get the sensation that comes into a human being when the presence of the Lord is with him, there is no ride that ever can match what that's like. Everything pales in comparison to the presence of the Lord in our lives. You know, He's God today, whether He's handing you anything or not. I don't have to continually be in a state of miracles. He's done enough already to convince me that He's God. And so I encourage us today to have a relationship, as the sister's poem was. Do you know Him? Because that's more than saying I've heard. Or there was a miracle. Or something like that. This indicates when He said you didn't follow me because of the miracles. It indicates you should have. Because that indicated that I'm God. And you should have. In there should be something that's drawing towards that. Not just to get what you can. He is there for that. I don't want to minimize that. But I think the Lord wants a relationship with us. And He goes on and says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God sealed. Over in Philippians. Philippians 3. Eighth verse, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I might get something from Him. No. That I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. Listen to that. And we'll read it again. What powerful language. Willingness. What willingness that the Apostle Paul had. Wasn't chasing after, as the Lord said, about the meat of this world, the meat of this. No, not the natural things of this. Paul was striving for something more. I want a relationship with God. I want a relationship with Christ. I want to be a friend and Him be a friend to me. I want to know Him and know His voice. Know His motions. Know what He's doing. I want to see Him in nature. I want to see Him in others. I want to see Him where He's at. I want to know Him and know that's God. He said that I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection. How are you going to know the power of His resurrection if you don't die? That's what He's talking about. Know the power of His resurrection. There's a resurrection power. Do you know we're saved today because He died and was resurrected? If he doesn't resurrect, then there's no power to save you and I from sin. The death of sin that's in you and I, that's the resurrection. We're resurrected to a new life. I want to know the resurrection of Christ. I want to know what it means to have Christ in me saved. I want to be saved from sin. This old world teaches, you can't, Christianity, you can't live free from sin. You're in sin all the time. You do that. That's a poor salvation. I don't want that. I want to be resurrected into a newness of life. I don't want to be the old man anymore. See, that's what he's saying. Paul's desiring, Lord, I want a relationship with you. What more than a relationship than the indwelling Spirit of God in you? A resurrection. A newness. I don't think like I used to think. I don't go where I used to go. I don't watch what I used to watch. I don't listen to what I want to listen. I don't want to. I don't want to. It says, and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, who wants to suffer? Paul found out something, and I've experienced it myself. When the presence of the Lord is with you in suffering, it's some experience. Now, if you're suffering and the Lord ain't with you, it ain't no place to be. It just ain't no place to be. I was saved. First year I was saved, I heard a lot about, seen a lot of, prayed a lot, heard a lot of prayers, and the Lord touched a lot of people, and saw Brother Samuels pray for people and get better, and I was pretty exciting about. I hadn't never been sick, so I never had trusted the Lord for sickness, because I hadn't been sick. Well, thought I did, but would and wanted to and longed to. Wonder what that's like. And then I got really sick. I mean, really sick. And I felt this is one of the strangest experiences to explain, because I felt so bad, and I felt so good. That the good that I felt was so much better than the bad that I felt. I was so elated. I was so up in my spirit. I was so connected with the Lord that it did not matter how bad my body hurt. I was just elated. I was so happy. It was almost euphoria in that sense. And there I was, as sick as I'd ever been in my life. But I'm glad for the lesson that the Lord showed me, that a lot of times we think about the idea of the only help for me is to get better. And I'm going to tell you, the presence of the Lord is a greater help. The grace of God can be a greater help, leaving you in the situation and overshadowing it with a power that I might know Him, that I might witness a fellowship of His sufferings, the sufferings that Christ had. I want to suffer that too. You know why He suffered? Because He was righteous. And that's what I want to suffer too. I want to suffer this because it makes me to know, and it secures me that I'm right in it. I want to suffer the sufferings of Christ and being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We want to look at another passage, Scripture. I won't read all this. It'll be a lot of reading. I'll just turn to it and then kind of talk it through. It's a story of Job, first chapter of Job. Oh, it said there was a man, land of Uz, named Job, and tells all that he has. Then it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and old Satan come along among them, came also. You know the story. The Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Sure. Been going up. What you been doing? Going to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking, watching, doing what I do. You considered Job? Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen old Job. He's a righteous man. A man that hates evil and cleaves the good. What do you think of that? It's a man that loves God. What do you think of that? Oh, Satan says, well, sure he does. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? He's using you. Now, this is my own language, but follow the story. He's just using you. You've blessed everything that he's touched. You know the kind of the old story, the old myth about King Midas. Everything he touched turned to gold. Oh, well, who wouldn't serve you? Look what you've done. You put a hedge around him. I can't get anywhere close him. You defend him against anything. Everything he plants grows. Everything he breeds gets big. Everything he's got great herds and flocks and all these things. You give him children. You give him friends. You've all these things. He's a king in that. He's surrounded around. He's using you. You're just a provider for him. That's what you are. All right. We're going to see. We'll just see what how Job would serve you. See, you take all this from him? You think he served you for nothing? No, I'm going to ask you something. If mama quits cooking, is she through with mama? You're done, mom. If you can't cook no more, you're through. No use in having mom, just can't cook. Is that all the relationship is? Or say to the wife, man, when the laundry's still dirty, you're gone. You know, that's all the relationship I'm going to have. That's what he said. Does he serve you for nothing? No. Robbery. You serve me because you're just giving and giving and giving. Who wouldn't? Everybody will do that. I ain't got a chance in this thing. All right? Let's see. I'm going to give you permission. You can touch anything he's got. But you can't touch his life. You can touch anything else you got. And you're all the devil. Yeah. Now you're going to see. Because he'll curse you to your face. Folks, when things get bad and the honey stops dripping and the money stops flowing and the health starts to go, is he still a friend? Is he still God? Or has he turned his back on me? Well, it depends on what you're after. It really is true. It depends on how you've made God out to be. I think many people do get in trouble in those kind of trials and places because they made God, and what the devil said was true. They ain't serving you for nothing. You take it from them and you'll see what kind of integrity they have and what they really think of you. So, the devil goes, and you know the story, you can read it here in this passage. He goes and he starts attacking. These ones fall on the camels, these fall on this herd, this falls on this. Here comes one was left to come, and here comes the messenger, comes to Job, and gives the message. And before he stops speaking, here comes another one. And before he stops speaking and telling it, here comes another one. And another one comes in and says, I was with your oldest son's house, and all your children got together for a party, and they're out there, and a great wind comes up, and it collapses, and they're gone. And I'm alone to hear to tell you about it. You know, Job could have easily said, now what kind of God have I been serving? You know, Job honestly had a relationship with God. God was something to Job more than just something he could get. He was God. He was a friend. He was something because when they got through and all of it was done and Job gets down in sackcloth and ashes, then his words are this. Naked I come into the world and naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't charge God foolishly. Lord help us. The old devil comes to me on a regular basis and tries to get me to murmur about the situations of my life. And you know who the blame's going to? It's not going to Satan. You know, it just doesn't seem natural to accuse old Satan. He's just there suggesting as if he isn't even there. No, why is God letting this happen? You ever have that come into your mind? Why is God letting this happen? Who said that? God's my friend. God's my friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is my friend. He's God. I got a relationship. I want a relationship with Him. I know this of God. It's my confidence in Him. It's something that I know of Him. That no matter what the circumstances looks like, God's working for me for good. I believe that. I believe that there's things about me that I can't see and know. I think there's trails that I can start. I wish I could explain this, but if you get a hold of this, I don't think we're smart enough, and I don't think the smartest of the smart men are smart enough. I don't think they're smart enough to make a computer program to do it. But I think that we start off in, if I can use it as a trail, we can start off with an attitude or a thought or a way of life that is a trail that leads us to the wrong place. And we can't see or know that that trail leads there. You don't know what your first... There is trails that I can say. I've seen enough of them. I've seen young people that sat right among the preaching, right among the saints. I've seen the saints' children. I've seen them be right there, and I've seen them make decisions that I said, I know where that trail goes. I've seen that trail go many, many generations. I've seen that choice of denying the Lord. I've seen that choice of being rebellious. I've seen that choice of reaching out to sin. I've seen it happen, and I've seen where the trail ended. But there is so many of those that's much bigger than that. And you don't know where your heart can go. You don't know where you can get to the place that you can't have faith in God. You don't know where that decision or that place was that trailed you there. But the Lord does know. And I'm depending on the Lord to help me, as my friend, beyond these natural things of life. But I'm dependent on that friend, no matter what happens in my life, is trying to divert those bad trails that I don't know what they are. Because He's able to do that. Lord, help us. I want Him to be more to me than just some abstract thought of a God out there. I want Him to be more to me than just something that I run to. And I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you, I've had this experience a number of times in my life to where I got shallow, a little indifferent in my experience with God. I think a lot of people here know what I'm talking about. You haven't been diligent like you know you should. And you get into that place, and just now something happens. One of the children are really sick, or something like that happens, and all of a sudden this bomb hits you. You knot up inside, and the first things you say is not, "Oh, Jesus, I sure love you. Appreciate you. And I'm glad we've had this wonderful relationship." No. The first things you say is, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not being diligent in my life." And you pray through this prayer till you can feel like that the Lord's heard you. And then you start saying, "Lord, would you help my child? Lord, I'm just human here and I'm frailty." And you said that you look and you know that our frame is but dust. And you know who we are, and you know these things, Lord, and you lived in this life, and you suffered the temptation of life, and you know all about it, and you know my human frailties. Lord, would you have mercy? Have you ever prayed for mercy? Don't feel worthy of anything else, just mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. I'm here to encourage you today to take a step more. Take a step. I'm not in saving anybody. That's part of experience many times. How about taking another step? How about seeking God not for the loaves and the fishes? How about seeking God because of somebody there's somebody I want to know? Oh, I think the Lord would just be thrilled if we started coming and saying, "Lord, I didn't come to ask you to give me anything. I come to see if I could get a little closer to you and know you a little better." Well, how would you feel if your child come up and said, "Dad, I'd like to know you a little better. We're getting older and things seem to be getting away from us. Let's spend some time together." We'd feel pretty good, wouldn't it? What about if your wives, if your husbands would come and say, "Honey, it seems like things have been a little cool. I'd like to get to know you. Can I romance you a little bit? Can I court you a little bit?" That's what I courted my wife for. Do you know that? Before he was married, I courted her. You know why? Because I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to know what her likes was, her dislikes. I wanted to know her job. All those things. I wanted to know her. What about going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I'd sure like to get together some. I'd like for just you to impress me in your word. I want to know." The word teaches us who God is. You know how it teaches us who God is? "Lord, I want to know you better. Then I might know you. But now I'm going to give you a warning. The way the Lord deals with me. When I say things like that, I am so narrow. I am so unintelligent. I'm so unable that the Lord's got to illustrate to me through life. So I was praying one time, Lord, I want to know you. I want to experience you. And that was my prayer. My desire was to be more like Christ. I kept remember praying, I want to be more like Christ. So the Lord had this event happen to where, and you may have heard me tell, I've told it many times, but I had a neighbor, an older lady, and her grandson lived across from me, the street from me. And this lady and I were really good friends, and she would call me from a number of times to come over and help her. And never one time, never once did she call me and I not immediately drop everything I was doing and go help her. She was up in years and couldn't help herself. And she regularly called me to do things, and I was glad to do it. From mowing her yard, to raking her leaves, to fixing her furnace, to pumping her water, to getting limbs out of the road, to help her get her car out or whatever. And that's what I had done. And I purposed to do it and help her. And then one day we come back from Pennsylvania meeting and come back and pulled into the driveway, and her drunken son, her grandson, comes over and starts chewing on me. I'm just chewing him. Because his dog dug through my fenced yard. Now my yard was fenced all the way around. His dog digs in my yard and gets into my garbage and takes my garbage over to his and has it in his yard. And he comes over, and really, it was some wee deer hunt, and it was some deer bones and different things. And he was hot, upset. And I was apologetic and all this, but I want to be honest with you. After it stopped, I had a war. I had a battle in Marty. Because the battle goes something like this. How dare him? His dog, that technically is supposed to be on a leash or constrained, digs in my fence, gets my stuff, and then he gets on to me. That's so illogical. And that's the, I remember what my wife said, because I thought that was the better answer. She said, well, we'll pray for him. Yeah, you want a saint to pray for you. Do something to them. That's what the Bible says. They reproach you, pray for them. So I'll do something to pray for them. But it was a battle. And I'm battling. I was went to the Lord and I was praying to get victory over this in my heart. And I don't have feelings about this because it was ridiculous. And I'm praying and I went through this line of prayer and I said, Lord, if they'd asked me and I picked the stuff up out of their yard, I always had. I said, all I ever done to them was good. And when I said that, the Lord said, you've been praying, you wanted to be more like me. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that Jesus had given me the opportunity to be like Him. Because I said all that I ever wanted to do for them was good. And then he flooded me with, that's all I come to this earth for, was to do good. They crucified me. I did nothing but good. And my desire was nothing but good. I didn't want to do, all I wanted to do was to say, I just wanted to be a blessing to mankind. And they took me, spat on me, put thorns on my head, and treated me bad. They whipped me, and they crucified me for it. You want to be like me? You just got the chance. You know, it did change my whole attitude towards that guy. Hang on, folks. God knows what He's doing. You want to know Him? And you say, yes, I want to take one step farther. If you really mean that, today may be a very interesting day to you. But God will keep you in it. You understand things. You know, I understood something there that I never understood before. I honestly understood something that I've never understood before. Not that I couldn't say it in words, but I understood in my heart what Jesus felt by being rejected. It didn't feel good. Lord, help us. I had a guy one time have a gun up to my head, gritting his teeth, saying, I'm going to blow your head off. It was very abusive. It was very vile to me. But you know, I come away understanding things that I never understood before. The way people have responded and reacted in life. I understand some people that have long histories of being abused and what they do and how they feel. I have those feelings towards that because now I understand it. I understand it. I was done that way and I felt it. And I know what the battle's been since then. So it's enlightened me more. You want to be like Jesus? Jesus knew all those. Jesus come down. He's the captain of our salvation. And He won it through being obedient. And He's the one that wants to be the friend to us. Lord, Lord help us to have a relationship with the Lord and know Him. To know Him. You know, the worst thing that can happen to you is when the Lord said, and I got this from Brother Ed, so I'm going to express it from his authority, not mine. But Brother Ed Wilson, I've heard him speak on it a number of times. And the scripture where they come up to the Lord and said, tell us where you get your authority from. And Jesus said, all right, I'll tell you. But first you answer me. John the Baptist, was he of God or not? And they said, oh, they kind of got together. My mind is, they said, oh, come here, fellas. And they put their hands in. Well, how are we going to answer this? If we say that he's not of God, the people's going to stone us because they're persuaded he is. And if we say he's of God, you know what he's going to say? Why don't you listen to him? They were caught and they knew it. So instead of being honest with the Lord, they said, we can't tell. And then Jesus said, well, I ain't going to tell you either then. Now, Brother Ed's view on that is that's the worst thing that can happen in a human life. Because there is no other hope now. Jesus actually told them, no more dealing. No dealing. I'm not going to tell you. And when the Lord says, I'm not going to tell you, you got some things about you, and you get to the place and the Lord says, I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with you, then how are you ever going to know? It's impossible. I believe the closer we get to the Lord, the more enlightened about ourselves we're going to be. I believe the closer we get to the Lord, the more understanding we're going to have to run life with. Lord, help us. I want to have the spirit of Job had there when these things come and are taken all away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now, oh, Satan comes back and the Lord said, did you? Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, Satan comes back again. He still loves me. Still serves me. All right, yeah. That's just things, though. That's just things. What about his body? Now, you restricted me in an area. And he ain't so given to things. But you touch his body, and he'll curse you to your face. All right? You can't have his life. But touch his body. So old Satan does his worst. Goes in and puts it on him. You know, Job, even at that, he didn't charge God foolishly. He had something. I'm going to tell you, old Job had something. The example of Job in the Bible is a great example. Because of the suffering, the patience of Job, Job's endurance, to be able to do that, and the fact that God was God to him. And none of the peripherals, none of the materials, none of the things that are around mattered to Job at all. God was God because he's God, and he didn't hook God to the other things. God didn't make God God because he was a healthy man. He made God God because he was God. You know, God's God no matter what you are, what happens to you, it's God. And Lord, help us. Help us to take one step farther than we've taken and have a relationship with God. To where it's not a gimme, gimme, gimme. Have you ever said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How about that? Lord, what would you have me to do today? Lord, I sure appreciate you today. Don't have any needs, really. Maybe I do have some needs, but I just want to come and tell you how much I appreciate you today. Lord, what can I do for you today? You got anybody for me to talk to today? You got anybody in the path? Is there an honest soul around? Can I go do something for you today, Lord? I sure appreciate you, and I want to show you something, and I know it's feeble, and I know I can't really do anything that is big, but Lord, if I could just do something, can I work for you, do something for you? I think that would be great. Oh, let's look at another passage of Scripture. Luke 17. Let's see, Luke. And as he entered into a certain... This is 12. Sorry, Luke 17 and 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Well, I suppose if I was there in that day, leprosy was a terrible disease, as I understand it. You were quarantined. When you got leprosy in that day, you were quarantined from the rest of the people. One of the worst things about it was is that you were separated from your family, your people. That's why 10 of them was together. You can be with lepers, but you can't be with anybody else. It was quarantined together. It was a terrible disease. As I understand the disease, it eats off and numbs. I think that one of the dangers is that if you'd accidentally put your hand in the fire, it'd burn it up. And they can do that, but it hurt and their hands rot. I mean, it's a terrible disease of its day. You don't hear so much about it now. But these people were, these men were lepers, and they come and somehow they knew who he was. I don't know. I don't give any account, but somebody said this is Jesus or something, because they begin to yell, "Jesus! Master! Lord! Lord!" That's what he's saying. Lord! He's my Lord! Master! Able! You're capable! You're above it, Lord! Have mercy on us! Well, the Lord heard that. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. What do you think of that? What if they had went and they hadn't been cleansed? Nothing happened. Nothing over that. What do you say? No reason to get all stirred up over that. He said to go show himself to the priest. We went, but there was nothing happened. This must be a phony or nothing happened. But these people that had leprosy, they when they went, it says that they went and they were cleansed. Now that has to be meaningful. Everything that their life was wrapped up into the fact that they was lepers. Totally, that's what it was wrapped up in. That's what they were. They were lepers. And they were cleansed now. And one of them, it says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now I can't help from thinking that that man had something that the other ones didn't have. They had a story. They had a story about Jesus, didn't they? They could tell the generations after. "Oh yeah, I remember Jesus. I ran into him one time." I think if I may, and there's no way to know in the scripture, though, this is taking liberty. But I can't help from thinking that more happened in this man's life than the others. He had a relationship with the Lord that the other ones didn't have. He came and started one with the Lord in an appreciation. "You didn't have to do that, Lord, but you did. And I'm so grateful that you did. You changed my life. I'd kind of like to be a friend. I kind of like to serve you." Didn't he? He served him, didn't he? He worshipped him, didn't he? The others didn't. They didn't have to. God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, "I'll do this if you worship me." He just done it. But he done it for a reason. It was a miracle. It was suggested of what no man can do. There must be something here that's different. God. It's God here. You want to know God? Be one that comes back. You want to know the Lord? Every day, He provides for us. Oh, we're so used to living that we think living's what we're supposed to always do. You're living because God gave you a day of life. And when He says you're through, you're through. Lord, I sure thank You that You let me have strength to rise up. Not everybody's going to stand on their 2 feet today. Do you know that? There'll be many people that's not able to do that today. And I can. Lord, I sure appreciate that. A relationship with the Lord. I'm going to leave that with you. I want to pray. The burden of my heart is that, and it's been a burden the Lord's given me. I feel like that there is a lot of lethargy and indifference in our spiritual lives these days. I think it's an attack of the devil. I think it's hard to. And I think one of the reasons for it is that we get caught up in so many things and we neglect the relationship. I think we neglect the relationship that we should have in God. And when that relationship starts suffering down, you will, if you're anywhere normal, you will fill that place with something. You need to be thrilled. You need to be excited. You need to have things in your life. You need to be entertained. You need to have things. I'm telling you, you will fill that void that's there that God wants to fill. You will fill it with something. And when we don't have that relationship, to be honest with you, I think if you looked into it, in the world I'm saying, or wherever it applies, I think many, many divorces and things like that happen because there is a breakdown in the relationship. When the relationship's going, there's no problem. But when that breaks down, there will be a need to fill something that's not being filled. There's where the problem starts. Well, the problem starts before. It starts in the relationship. So Lord, help us today to enliven our relationship with the Lord. He has already said that if you draw nigh unto Him, He's already said that. But again, it's like we said last night with the promises. Every promise of God is a covenant promise, or it's conditional promise. He said, I'll draw nigh to you, so that makes Him nigh to me, right? No, He said, I'll draw nigh to you, the promise, if you draw nigh to me. So we can hook up anytime if you'll draw nigh. The Lord is as close to you as He's going to get right now until you make the move. Oh, He's here. He's as close as He can be. But He's not so close. He's not as close as He can be until you make the move to get to Him. Lord, help us in our relationship. You pray for me.